Psalms 95. We have emphasized in the month of January prayer, greater prayer. John 14, he said, because I go to the Father, greater things than these shall you do. He expects us and he enables us to do greater things. And God has blessed this church. He's blessed this ministry. But I do believe that God would have us to press on and not be satisfied with what we've seen God do. It's all him, but he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we are able to ask or think. I can think some pretty big things. Brother Tim can think some pretty big thing, and Brother Brad can think some pretty big thing. But God can do more than we can think. Say amen. Amen. I appreciate that. He's able, and we're just going to believe God to do great things in prayer. And then March was mission month, greater missions. I pray that God would help us to understand that every one of us ambassadors of Christ, we're missionaries. Right where you are, you're a missionary. In your school, in your work, wherever you are, you're a missionary there. You're to be a light for the Lord, a salt. You're to share the gospel, be a witness. And now this month we're emphasizing worship, greater worship. And I pray God to speak to our hearts all this month that we'll worship the Lord. Amen? Worship is not a duty. It is a delight. It's God wanting to minister us and us worship him and give him the praise that's due to him. I want to read two psalms this morning. You follow with me. And by the way, I don't know if you're going to get back tonight or not, because already we're booked, and Trudy said we had over 100 more booked tonight than we had last night. We had something like 300. And so Brother Tim said we're going to stand at the door with WD-40 and spray them all down and slide them in, get everybody in the building tonight. So I hope that you'll, I don't know if we're going to have any room for walk-ins or not, but if you've not set up a time for all of our friends on the internet, next Wednesday night we do the Easter drama again, and then next Friday night, and at 7 o'clock each night, please call the church office and get set up with Trudy. You can go online and get tickets, no charge, but we have to do that so we can get everybody in the building. So please do that. You pray for the services tonight. I want to read two of these psalms today. And we're talking about worship. And you please worship and listen and follow as I read Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great, is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Listen, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. You want to let God speak to you, have a tender heart, have an open heart. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when our fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 long years, was I grieved with the generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, that ye should not enter into my rest. Sing unto the Lord, Psalms 96, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all ye earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth, the world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields be joyful and all that that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Oh, listen, sing a song unto the Lord. Worship Him, magnify Him, praise the Lord. This month, we're emphasizing worship. Worship. And I want us to pray that God will speak to our hearts today. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the blessed privilege of being in Your house. Thank You for the wonderful singing this morning of the choir. Our Lord, thank You so much for touching Brother Danny and blessing him. Thank You, our Father, again for last evening. God, how You bless. Thank You for the dedicated work of those who worked months in advance to get the set ready and everything in place. Thank You for all those who did the sound and the lights last night, did such a wonderful job. Those who did the makeup and Lord, every phase of the ministry, those who take care of the costumes and get those ready and have them ready for all the cast members, for all the cast and the singing. We bless Your name. Lord, thank You for Tim and Wendy for their directing and Lord, arranging all of this and God, for Your hand on them. Now, Lord, we've come together this morning. We want to worship You. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that God in singing to the congregation already that I've had opportunity to worship. Lord, in the great singing of the specials, Lord, I pray now You'd minister our hearts. Help us, our Father, to be aware that, Lord, we have a wonderful, blessed privilege of worship. I pray, God, that You'd lift every burden, every care. Help us to understand the great benefits of worship and acknowledging that You're in control, that You're the God of this universe, that You own everything in the world, and God, You've got everything well in hand. Lord, worship identifies You as that, and Lord, recognizes Your sovereignty and Your grace and Your love. And I pray, God, that, Lord, that will fill our minds and hearts during this month especially, and we'll worship You and praise You and give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We've come to worship and adore Him. The wise men traveled from afar, and they said this, we have come to worship Him. What a wonderful example of worship was in those wise men as they traveled. In purpose, they came to worship Him. How many of you came to church this morning in purpose to worship the Lord? Raise your hand. We came on purpose to worship Him. We have purpose to worship Him. He's worthy of our praise. We've made that effort to come and worship Him on purpose. That's our intent. We've come here to worship Him. I want to look at a few things in the Word of God this morning in regard to worship. By way of introduction, you have your place in Psalms. Hold that. But turn over to the Gospel of John chapter 4. Gospel of John chapter 4. I read and shared this just briefly, made reference to it the other day, and then Brother Roger yesterday morning as well. But I read this text. But notice in John chapter 4, he's talking to the woman at the well, just one verse, verse 23. And he said this, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. There is true worship. And if there's true worship, what's that mean? There must be false worship. I mean, if you got the truth, there's got to be error. And, you know, I'm told that when they train people in the financial world and banking to look at money, that they memorize and they know the American currency, they know the real. And so if you know the real, when you see the false, you'll recognize it. You and I are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if you're worshiping in spirit and truth, you recognize the false. But now, in the Word of God, it is identified for us in some ways. For instance, turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15, listen to what our Lord says in verse number 8. Matthew 15, verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. But in vain do they worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There is true worship, but there's also what he describes here as vain worship. They worship with their lips, but not with their heart. So I'd understand from that true worship must mean that it's got to be a heart worship. It's got to be something genuine and real on the inside of us. Here, he said, they worship in vain. What's that mean? The word vain means empty. It means profitless. And this vain worship, number one, it does not benefit the worshiper. You see, all that God does for us, it benefits us, it blesses us, it helps us to grow. But you don't benefit from it. I tell you, when I've been in a worship and I really worship God at home or in private, or if I worship God in a church service, I tell you, it lifts my heart when I magnify Him and I really worship Him. We leave. Some people came out last night, they said, we feel like we're walking on air. They got that close to glory last night. There were some folk who worshiped last night. Matter of fact, I'd like to recruit some of them to sit right over in this section. If you were here last night, you know what I'm talking about. There were some folks over here worshiping God, praise God. They were rejoicing and magnifying the Lord. They weren't ashamed of it. Their worship was vocal. Amen. They were praising God. They lifted their voice. Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. How many of you are breathing this morning? Raise your hand. All right, we're to worship Him. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. But there is vain worship. There's just those who worship with their lips, but it's not real to them. That's vain. It's profitless. It doesn't benefit. And not only does it not profit us, it doesn't give God glory. It doesn't give Him glory. It's not real. It's not genuine. When people see you praising God 1 minute and you're living a life contrary to that the next, it doesn't give Him honor. It doesn't give Him glory. But now, I notice something else a little bit further over the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, Paul is in Athens. And chapter 17, verse 23, and he goes through and he sees all the idols erected and he finds one. They've got all these other gods mentioned and idols to them, but they have one idol just in case they've overlooked one, and it's an idol to the unknown God. And Paul says to them, this you worship ignorantly. And so there's vain worship and there's ignorant worship. That means you don't know how to worship. That's why he said you worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you understand the truth about who He is and you've studied the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God has made Him real to you, you cannot but worship Him. And you worship Him in a true fashion, but you worship Him in the truth to understand who He is and magnify Him. When you understand that He will never, ever leave you nor forsake you, you understand that He loves you with an everlasting love, an unchanging love. He doesn't love you more today than less tomorrow. He loves you the same all the time. He doesn't love you when you're good and not love you when you're bad. He loves you all the time. If you've got somebody like that, you ought to worship Him. You ought to magnify Him. You worship Him in spirit and truth. And they worshiped ignorantly. They didn't know how to worship. Jesus said to that woman at the well in this conversation, I read the text a while ago, He said, you worship, you know not what. You don't even understand the concept of worship because you're worshiping the Lord God eternal. You worship in Him. And so there's vain worship and there's ignorant worship. And then in the book of Romans, I would have you to turn there, Romans chapter 1, just real quick, and verse 25. In Romans chapter 1, I want you to look at verse number 25 and notice what it says in this passage of Scripture. He's talking about those who knew God, glorified Him not as God, and so on. And he says this in verse number 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. There's what I call, my dear friend, misplaced worship. They're worshiping the wrong thing. You can worship ignorantly, not knowing the truth. You can worship in vain, that is, just with lips and not with your life, not with your heart. Or you can misplace worship. That is, you give to somebody or something the worship's due to Him. They change the truth of God into a lie, and they worship the creature more than the Creator. And I will say this just in passing, chase a little rabbit. There are people in this nation who worship nature. They are in the green movement. My wife read me something on the internet the other day about some old person, and some young person said something to them about the green movement. And they said, well, we didn't have that in our day. And they went on and told about all that they did to conserve things when they were in days that gone by. But my dear friend, there are people who worship the creature more than the Creator. They worship this world. They worship what they call Mother Nature. And they don't worship God. They don't worship the Creator and magnify Him for that. There's false worship. But then, thank the Lord, that is true worship. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and it's depicted as a minister to Christ in the garden, but also at His birth, the Bible said at the birth of our Savior in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, that God commanded the angels to worship Him. And they gave worship to the Son of God. The angels worship. Now, in this passage of Scripture, I call your attention to one verse because I'm going to relate that to something that happened with our Lord. Notice in Psalms 95, verse 6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down before Him. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. not only did I understand that worship's a matter of the heart, but it also has to do the matter of our will and our surrender. In this passage of Scripture, he said, kneel before me. Kneel before him. Bow before him. When the Lord Jesus Christ was being tempted of the devil came to him and he said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these things. Tempting him. What does that mean when you bow before the Lord? Can you worship standing? Certainly we worship and praise God. We magnify him. But there is some element to this idea of kneeling before the Lord on occasions. What does it mean? I suggest four or five things to you real quick. This is all by way of introduction, and then I'll bring you the message. What does it indicate when I kneel before the Lord? Number one, it is my reverence for him. I enter into his presence and I humble myself before him in reverence to the Lord. In the Old Testament, the word fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord. That would mean you're afraid, you cower in fear at him. It means you have reverential trust for him. You reverence him. You recognize his sovereignty, that he's King of kings and Lord of lords. You reverence him. And in worship, there's a real sense of reverence. That's why I have such a problem. I don't want to stir up a hornet's nest, but some of the modern worship has absolutely no reverence in it. None. It's a carnival. It's like a carnival. There's no reverence to the holy God. There's no reverence. There's no honoring him as sovereign and bowing before him. Referred to, the guy in the sky. Boy, that just drives me crazy. The little things people put on internet, the little things for phrases in the Bible. Oh my God. I don't see any sense of reverence in that. I think it's disrespectful. And worship must have in it some element of like kneeling and reverence, reverential trust. We reverence him. We honor him. We recognize who he is. Why he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Why he's our Savior who loved us and died for us and was slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. He's still God. And we still honor him, reverence him as Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. Not only does kneeling indicate an atmosphere of reverence, but it also has to do with the idea of repentance, recognizing that he's God, he's my Savior. And when I kneel before him, not only am I reverencing him, but it's a wonderful occasion for me to repent and to be clean before him. You say, well, Brother Bill, I got saved in 1949. That's a wonderful thing. Have you ever had an occasion to repent since then? The Lord Jesus Christ illustrated to his disciples a wonderful truth when he washed their feet. And he said, I don't wash your feet, we can't have fellowship. And Peter said, well, just give me a bath all over then. And he said, if you've had a bath, you don't need a bath, you just need to have feet washed. When you get saved by the grace of God, you're just as saved as you're ever going to be. But when you serve and walk in this world, there are times that there are things that happen in your life, things in your thought life, things in your actual life, things you say on impulse or do on impulse. There are things that you do in disobedience to the Lord when you grieve him. He may burden you to give a certain amount of money you don't do. He may deal with you about witness somebody and you don't do it. And the Holy Ghost of God's grieved and begins to deal with you and chasing you. And there's time when God's people have to repent before him and say, oh God, not for our salvation, but for our fellowship. And we come before him humbly and we kneel and say, oh God, please forgive me. I love you and you're my Savior and my Lord, but God, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have done that. God, I failed to do that when you asked me to do it. Please forgive me. Worship has an element of repentance in it. Notice something else. Reverence, not only this idea of kneeling before him, not only is reverence and not only repentance, but it has to do with a resignation of my will to him. I'm surrendering to him. When I come and kneel before him, I'm resigning my will. The Lord Jesus Christ in the drama and in the Word of God so wonderfully, when our Lord goes to pray in that garden and he prays, great sweat drops of blood fall from his brow. He summarizes this prayer with this, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. A resignation to the will of God. And when I come to worship, I do not genuinely worship unless I resign all of my personal will and let His will be real in my life. I bow to His sovereignty and His will be done in my life. That's real worship. God, oh, Brother Danny, I'm telling you, that song went so wonderfully with the message I preached last Sunday. I felt like I ought to go back and preach that again. And the comments that Art and Evelyn Yoner, their motto for life, anything, anytime, anywhere, at any cost. And that song just, it spoke to every bit of that. That was wonderful. And so when you come to worship Him and you kneel before Him, you're saying, Lord, anything, anytime, anywhere, at any cost, you're my Savior. I worship you. I adore you. Not only is it a resignation of my personal will and surrender to His perfect will, but it is this. It is a idea of me relinquishing all of my rights to Him. I just give Him full surrender. You say, well, I've got a right to do this. I don't know. I like to watch golf. I'm not very good at golf. It does. Some years ago when I was going to the doctor and he said I had a lot of stress on me, this, that, and the other. And Regina was there and he asked, well, what can you do to relax? Do you play golf? And she laughed because she knew that golfing makes me tense. I get just uptight. Not only does it make me tense, it makes everybody anywhere in the flight of my golf ball tense. I watch these guys in the pros and people lying way down the fairway watching. I looked at the other and I laughed. I said, if I was on that tee, they wouldn't be there. They'd scatter like a covey of quail. I mean, they'd go here and go there and everywhere. Oh, it just drives me crazy trying to golf. I'm not good at that. My dear friend, listen. The Holy Ghost of God would speak to our heart. And he'd say to us that you say to Him, Lord, here I am. And whatever you want me to do, I'm resigning my will to you. I'm relinquishing all rights. And whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And I'm going to tell you, when you come to that place, you'd be surprised what a sense of peace would flood your soul. You think, man, that would really make me uptight if I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, exactly what God was going to do. No, I know He's going to do right. I know whatever comes, and if you ever yield to Him, there's such a sense of peace. And when you release your will to Him and you relinquish all rights of yourself to Him and say, God, I'm yours, whatever you want to do with me, there is such a sense of peace and relaxation and rest that comes when you do that. Now, I'm hurting long introduction. Worship, I mentioned three things in regard again to worship. Number one, worship must be personal. Worship is personal. It's between you and the Lord. You're to have a personal encounter with Him. And you're worshiping Him for personal experiences with Him and personal knowledge of Him. I mean, it's all personal. I mean, I worship Him because we have a wonderful personal relationship. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Father. He's my provider. I worship Him. I worship Him because of what He's done in my life and who He is and what I know from the Word of God. I worship Him. It's got to be personal. It's got to be personal. And then worship, you must learn that personal must be private at times. Don't count on coming to church Sunday morning and worship. We call this the worship hour, worship service. But if you have the true worshiper, it is a personal thing. But my dear friend, it is a private thing at the same time. It is all week long and personally and privately worshiping with Him. You need to learn to have church when you're right by yourself. You've got to learn to have church when you're right by yourself. The old time Puritans carried two books with them, always. They carried a book and they carried a Bible. I read about Richard Baxter, an old preacher, rode horseback several thousand miles, and he did his sermons riding horseback, and he carried two things. And as he rode through the mountains and desolate areas, he would worship the Lord. Nobody but him and the trees and the birds and the squirrels. And he'd sing the songs of Zion. And he'd read the Word of God. And he'd praise and worship the Lord. You've got to learn to do that. You've got to worship the Lord. Learn to worship Him in private, singing to the Lord. And that's the chance for some of us to sing that we wouldn't sing in public for $100. But you can sing to the Lord. Just sing to Him. Worship Him in song. Get you an old hymn book and go through and start singing those old songs. And I'm challenging you to this month, start doing that. Get off somewhere and have a little private time with the Lord in the house or wherever, but get you a hymn book, get you a Bible, and just go through and pick out one of those old songs. Oh, listen, sing it. Sing it to the Lord. They run through my mind. I was telling you, when I was sick, oh, listen, what a blessed thought to know that I don't ever sing with a hymn book. It's hard for me to see if I don't have my glasses on, and if I'm moving, I can't see it and everything. So most of them, I just sing from memory and lip sync some of the rest of them. Amen. But listen, there's so many in my heart. Oh, listen, I love those old songs, don't you? Just get along with Him and worship Him. Worship. I feel like singing right now, but I'll spare you that right now. Worship as they run through my mind. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for our faith. Oh, listen, thank God for that song. Amen. Thank God. Oh, listen, when I think about Calvary, up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, oh, those old songs we sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, when you get to singing those songs by yourself, I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Ghost of God will bless you. Learn to private worship. Make a point this month. I'm going to worship the Lord privately. I'm going to get me a songbook. I'm going to sing. I'm going to worship Him in song. I'm going to read the Word of God. Let me say this to you about reading the Word of God. Read the Word of God out loud in your private worship. Read it out loud. I don't know about you, but I can start off reading the Word of God in my mind, and next thing you know, I'm thinking about mashed potatoes. You ever done that? Or Bojangles. It'll take me a few minutes to get some of you back right now. I can look at you and tell you, boy, praise God, you're sopping gravy right now. I know you are. But you know what? Learn to read out loud in your private worship. Oh, listen, read those psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Make me lie down in the green pastures. Leave beside the still water. Oh, read it. Make it real. Read it out loud. Worship Him. Sing to Him. Worship Him in private. But then there's also public worship. But public worship is always personal worship. You corporately gather and we corporately sing, but it's personal. It is not a spectator sport. You worship in this building personally. You've got to have an encounter with Him. You've got to worship in the singing. You've got to be blessed by the Word of God. It's always personal, and you worship Him. Last night during the play, those folk were worshiping, and I was worshiping. I was just thinking about Him and what He'd done for me and all the songs and everything else. And when Jane and Juanita and Cabot came right over there, I was sitting right there. May not sit there tonight because that light was on me all the time. I like sitting off to the side some, but right there, I mean, when they came and started singing right there beside me, and they were singing His Life for Mine. Boy, I told Jane, I felt like standing up and shouting, but I knew I'd be right there where she's at and everything. Someone stood up here and shouted for me. Praise God. I thank God for that. But it was personal. It was personal to me. His life for mine. I'm going to get to go to heaven because He left heaven and died for me. It's personal to me. Thank God He loved me and He died for me and He saved me and He's taken me to heaven and I get to live forever because He died for me. It's personal. Worship has to be personal. All right, here's the message. Number one, you must learn to worship Him with your lips. Everywhere you go through the Bible, He said we are to praise Him. Learn to magnify Him with your lips. Worship Him in praise with your lips. That's why I like for folks to say amen, praise the Lord, glory to God. I mean, just magnifying Him, glorifying Him. Raise your voice to the Lord. Worship Him in song. Use your lips, but not just in private and not just in public gathering, but all week long. The passage I just read to you in those psalms said, you let Him know before the heathen. Just praise the Lord. You go in the food line, and it's going to be a pretty morning. You go in the food line, you tell somebody it's a beautiful day, and then say this, I just praise the Lord that He's in control. And I've been in, every time I go in somewhere and it's raining and gloomy and bad, somebody said, man, it's a bad day. I said, it is, but you know what? The Bible said, this is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm worshiping Him. I'm not trying to be a show off. I'm not trying to just, but listen, I'm telling you right now, the reason people don't want what we've got is because we don't act like we want what we got. And if you'll just worship Him and praise Him, I mean, you're not on a, you're not trying to pin, you know, butthole somebody or force them to be, you're worshiping the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost of God came, they worshiped Him. They came, overflowed out of that upper room. And the Bible said they were so jubilant and so rejoicing that people thought they were drunk. And what opened the door for the preaching on Pentecost was their worship. And when they worship and you love the Lord and you worship Him, it creates around you a hunger for what you've got. Worship Him with your lips. Praise God. Amen. You don't have to preach a sermon. You just magnify the Lord. He's a great God. He's been good to me. And I praise Him with my lips and I magnify Him with my lips. But you praise Him with your life. Your life must be consistent with your lips. You have to live a life that honors Him, a life of surrender. You know people that live for the Lord. You know people that live a life. You know people that they have a great testimony in the community. I'm not talking about just because, you know, they wear the right kind of clothes or they got the right kind of haircut. This, that, that. I'm just talking about the fact that there's something about their life that they worship Him with their life. Get ready to go buy something. Listen, let them know that you're going to need some time to pray about it because you want the Lord to get honor and you want God to give His perfect will. Your whole life, every aspect of it ought to be a worship experience. You worship Him all the time. You worship Him with your life. Why do you do what you do? Why do you go where you go? Why do you say what you say? It's worship. I love Him. I don't want to do anything to dishonor Him. I want to do everything to please Him. You know, I was a boy growing up, and I guess it's still that way. But somehow or another, they always identified boys with their daddy or mama. My daddy's name was Henry. And wherever I'd go, they'd say, you're Henry's boy. Yeah. You're Janie's boy. Yeah. Well, we thought you were. And I don't know why they'd think that. But you know what I wish? I wish everywhere I went, they say, you're Jesus' boy. You're Jesus' boy. That's who you are. We can look at you and tell you. We know there's a difference about you. There's something different about you. Something different about you. My dear friend, you worship Him with your life. Glorify Him. Honor Him with your life. You worship Him, my dear friend, with your livelihood. In this passage of Scripture, He says this in this Psalm here, as I was reading to you a while ago, He said that you're to bring an offering. Come worship and bring an offering. You do worship Him with your substance. What's that mean when you give your tithes and offering? It simply means you're saying, Lord, this is all yours anyhow. I'm just going to honor you with it. I honor you with the fruit that you've blessed me with. I honor you with my tithes. I honor you with offerings. I honor you with faith promise. You honor Him. You worship Him. And giving ought to really be worship. You know, we make a lot of jokes about it. Preach as bad as anybody else, you know. I've been in meetings sometime with the preacher. Well, let's get the offering out of the way so we can worship. No, it ought to be worship. It ought to be worship. The Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. I've all thought I'd do this one Sunday morning. We wouldn't pass the offering plates. I'd like to get all these little kids up here and get all the little children and get you all to do something with me. Would you all let them borrow your pocketbook for a few minutes? And go around and gather up all the pocketbooks. I said, now, boys and girls, let's just give the Lord an offering. Just watch them. We'd have to pass out nitros in here. I mean, the people would be, you know, passing out. Well, you say, well, Brother Billy, too. Sure, they can give like that because it don't belong to them. Think about it. It don't belong to you either. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. And God loves a cheerful giver. You worship Him in giving. Just worship Him in giving. Somebody said, God loves a cheerful giver, but He'll take it from an old grouch. That ain't so. Ain't so. You put money in the offering plate and you do it begrudgingly, you do it without worship, God doesn't get any honor. You don't get any blessing. God loves a cheerful giver, and he'll bless you. I tell you, just be faithful. Joy will be, somebody said, give until it hurts and then give till it feels good. Amen. But just obey God in your giving. Just do that. And I tell you, if you honor him with your livelihood, but then honor him with your loyalty. You worship him with your loyalty. I'm a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be faithful. I will be loyal to him regardless. I'm going to be loyal to him. Worship him. The Bible said, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Amen. And so much the more you see the day approaching. We're pleading and trying all the time. We've been promoting this and pleading with you to have your family in church 3 times a week. I've been here 20 years. There's some folk in here who've never been any time but Sunday morning in 20 years. Now, does the Bible say you got to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Not necessarily. But it does say this. It said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you believe Jesus is coming again? Raise your hand. If some of you are a little bit timid there, you believe it, but you will raise your hand because you think I'm fixing to put you in a trap. As you see the day approaching, you ought to assemble more. So if you've been coming Sunday morning, why don't you in the month of April start trying to come on Sunday night? Why don't you start trying to come on Wednesday night if you come Sunday morning, Sunday night? And just worship him. The more you gather, the more you get. The more you gather with God's people, the greater blessing it is. You worship him. Worship him with your loyalty, being faithful to the house of God, being faithful to things, and being faithful to him through the week. Lastly, honor him and worship him with your love. Now, these are not necessarily in order. Your lips and your life and your livelihood and your loyalty, but with your love. You worship him with your love. He only accepts worship from those who love him. Why you say, well, Brother Bill, in the play, it says that Satan will kneel. Oh, that's surrender. That's subjection to him. But that's not worship of him. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. They're going to do that. Yeah, Pilate will. Hitler will. Everybody will. But it's not worship. Worship is when I do it out of my heart. I'm to worship the Lord. I'm to love him with all my heart, mind, and soul. And my worship must generate from my love for him. I love him. You ever known anybody and they'd say this about a husband or wife? She worships her husband. He worships his wife. Now, why does he do that? Because he loves her. I guess it means that maybe they cater to one another or they want to spend time with one another, all those things. But my dear friend, listen, it comes out of love. That's why they do what they do. That's why people say they worship somebody. It's because they really love them. And my dear friend, when you really love him, you worship him. It's a wonderful experience. I don't like Brother Tim, the message Brother Tim preached. I didn't even get to hear it, but I've heard so much about it. I know it now. And he told me about it before he ever preached it. You don't have to come to church. You get to come to church. Amen. You don't have to worship. You get to worship. Amen. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. It is a blessing when you worship the Lord. Now go with me to one place this morning. Go to Calvary. To the place where he should have been worshiped the most, he was worshiped the least. Lips. Instead of praising him and adoring him, they cursed him and mocked him. Worship him with his life, with your life. There they had rejected him. They had beat him. They'd abused him. They offered him vinegar. Worship him with your life. They sat down and they watched him there. Worship him with your livelihood. They gambled for his garment. They gave him no tribute, no honor, no praise. Worship him with your love. No love expressed that day at Calvary. Only wrath, only hatred, only bitterness. But because of Calvary, because of what he did for me and you, we ought to worship him with our life. were to worship Him with our lips and our livelihood and our loyalty, but most of all with our love. Thank Him for what He did. I want you to learn to worship. It's a wonderful experience. It's not something you try to do. It's not something you just force yourself to do. It ought to be an outflow of your love for Him, and it'll keep you going. I'm going to tell you, worship is exactly the opposite of worry. You worship Him, it relieves stress. It'll give Him glory. Worship Him. There's only one way you can truly worship Him in the very beginning, and that is by surrendering to Him as your Savior and Lord. If you're not saved, you cannot never really worship Him like you ought to and adore Him like you ought to. Will you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed, worship, greater worship. I want you to practice private worship this week. I mean, just get along with God somewhere and just thank Him and praise Him. Get an old hymn book and sing. Sing from memory. Read the Word of God out loud. Magnify the Lord. Glorify Him. Worship Him. Worship Him personally. Worship Him publicly. That is, as you go from place to place, just tell how good He is. I mean, listen, you don't have to give an exegesis of all the Scriptures. You don't have to bring a long sermon. Just talk about how good God is. He's a great God. Thank God for all He's done. He's a creator of all things, and magnify Him. Let people know that you know that He's in control of everything. Worship Him in private. Worship Him in public. Assemble together. So many things I want to say and I'll try to say in this month. But I see that woman now, she slips in through the crowd, comes to the feet of Jesus, and she anoints Him with an alabaster box. And she begins to kiss His feet. That's worship. Has He done anything for you? Do you understand who He is? Let's worship Him. Worship Him. Let's stand together, if you will, please, with your heads bowed and eyes are closed. First of all, I want to do this. I want to invite you to do what it says in Psalms 95, verse 6. Come, let us bow before Him. Let us kneel before Him. I'd encourage, if you're here this morning, you're a saint of God. As we enter this, what we call the Easter season, would you like to just kneel, come around this old altar? Might kneel where you are. Some of you, I understand physically it's hard for you to kneel down. You might want to just come sit around up front. But worship Him for a few moments. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. In the media audits, you've never been saved. I want to invite you right now to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? There's a man the Lord told about one day. And said, kneeling afar off, he would not so much as lift his eyes toward heaven, but he smote his breast and he said seven simple words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Will you receive Him as your Savior this morning? Will you just simply say, God, I want to be saved? There are friends who'll pray with you, dear men, ladies around this front who'll pray with you. If I can help you, I'll do it. But I want to encourage you right now here in the building, internet and radio audience, will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ now? Will you call on Him right now and worship Him? Will you call on Him and allow Him to save you right now? Will you accept Him as your Savior and Lord? He made a promise if you'd call on Him, He'd answer. If you call on Him, He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on Him right now, right where you are, here in the building. If we can help you any way, we want to do it. Just worship Him.